I want to thank Christiana for that reflection of hers, which is so grounded in the reality of life and not a Hallmark moment, but wrestling with how life presents itself to us in ways we might not have imagined, and the character to find a way to make meaning out of it and to move forward in a life-affirming way. It is good to be with you this morning. After a particularly complicated American holiday, messy in its origins, that's an understatement, and too often accompanied by family stressors or health stressors. And I'll confess, I have a complicated relationship with the theme of abundance, this monthly theme, especially after Thanksgiving, where, you know, the boundaries of moderation just break down, and now we're heading into this over-the-top commercialism of the December holidays. And I've been thinking about our species lately as actually having an autoimmune disease where we're attacking ourselves, right? We can see it in the politics, but also the consumerism and materialism and, frankly, the hallowing of capitalism as a value. These are aggressive actions against our species and against our planet. But I'm not going to talk about that today. I'll tell you another complication I have with the theme of abundance. I grew up with a lot of New Age spirituality, and the term abundance can get too close to what I consider a too often corrupt theology called prosperity consciousness. That if you would pray hard enough and align your mind and your thoughts well enough, mind over matter, and keep with positive thinking enough, then you deserve the prosperity that is your reward from God. And while there is some truth to the power of positive thinking and how it really does affect our lives and the world around us in a very real way, too often prosperity theology is arrogant and shaming and blaming sick and blaming real victims of real hardships in real life as if it were their fault. But I'm not going to talk any more about that today. You know, the worship associates, we brainstormed these themes months ahead, and when we were first brainstorming this theme of abundance, I was brought back to a period in my life, just a beautiful period, glorious and challenging and spectacular, when I was raising a high-needs teenager and an infant and then a toddler. 5 years, these sisters lived in the same house together, and I did not have what, you know, I wanted of an abundance of time or energy or capacity. Which brought me to the questions that I wrote in the blurb for this service. What happens when we're not feeling abundant in our lives? Where do we find it again? Where do we look for it? And what I was thinking about there was a teaching from Thich Nhat Hanh from his book, The Miracle of Mindfulness. He wrote about a friend and a student, a parent of two young children, and who was also struggling with time and navigating that scarcity. His name was Alan, and Alan said, "I've discovered a way to have a lot more time. In the past, I used to look at my time as if it were divided into several parts. And so here's one part reserved for Joey, the 7-year-old, and here's another part reserved for Sue, his wife, and another part for Anna, the infant, and another part for the work of the household. And then the time left over, I considered my own, where I could read and write and do research and take walks. But now I try not to divide my time into parts anymore. I consider my time with Joey and Sue as my own time. When I help Joey with his homework, I try to find ways of seeing his time is my time. I go through his lesson with him, sharing his presence and finding ways to be interested in what we do together. And the time for him becomes my own time. And the same with Sue and Anna. And the remarkable thing is that now I have unlimited time for myself." And that teaching saved me, right? 16, 17 years ago as I was raising those two daughters. So I come back to this teaching when I'm very busy in my life. And it's why I'm including this image of an iceberg here, because there's so much more below the surface than meets the eye. There's so much more there than you can see. So does that ever happen to you, where you feel too busy? at capacity, maybe heading into December. Or maybe in this congregation, heading into a capital campaign and a remodel of this building. So that's why I brought that Buddhist teaching to you, but I'm not going to talk about that particular Buddhist teaching anymore either. Instead, I want to offer you some spaciousness in a different way, right here in this sanctuary, an abundance in the in-between spaces of words. Through the Thanksgiving Address, which is a practice, a part of the self-governance model from the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which is made up of 5 Iroquois tribes in the Northeast, the Mohawks, the Oneidas, the Onondagas, the Cayugas, and the Senecas. This address is a way of life oriented towards gratitude and a form of governance in that it is spoken before gatherings to bring those in attendance into alignment with gratitude. Now, there are different forms of this address. The one today is from the book Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. She is native Potawatomi, and she lives near the ancestral homelands of the Onondaga Nation in New York. Since the Thanksgiving address was not her own tradition, she requested and received permission to use it in her book and to write about it in her book. And she says over and over again, she was told that these words are a gift and they are meant to be spread. So this permission to share the Thanksgiving address is important to me. I am mindful that this congregation holds title to this land here on Ceres Drive, and that original ownership of this land was transferred in an 1861 treaty from the Arapaho and Cheyenne Indians of the Upper Arkansas River to United States ownership. I want to thank Liz Marsis for her work on a web of life and land report for the fellowship, which identified this particular treaty as part of how we came to own this land. I'm mindful that my complicated relationship with the word abundance is partly rooted in the U.S. cultural values of ownership and property, which privileges private property over the lives of people and over the interdependent web, the ecosystems of our planet. There is strong evidence that the governance of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy influenced Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson as they wrote the U.S. Constitution. It's not a prayer for Thanksgiving, but it is a way of opening meetings, of setting the right alignment. It is a practice of gratitude. And Christiana and I offered here today for you as a gift, as a way of slowing down and settling into alignment with giving thanks. So sit back, take this in, the words of the Thanksgiving address. Today we have gathered, and when we look upon the faces around us, we see that the cycles of life continue. We have been given the duty to live in balance and harmony with each other and all living beings. So now let us bring our minds together as one, as we give greetings and thanks to each other as people. Now our minds are one.
We are thankful to our Mother, the Earth, for she gives us everything that we need for life. She supports our feet as we walk about upon her. It gives us joy that she still continues to care for us, just as she has from the beginning of time. To our Mother, we send thanksgiving, love, and respect. Now our minds are one.
We give thanks to all the waters of the world for quenching our thirst, for providing strength and nurturing life for all beings. We know its powers in many forms: waterfalls and rain, mists and stream, rivers and oceans, snow and ice. We are grateful that the waters are still here and meeting their responsibility to the rest of creation. Can we agree that water is important to our lives and bring our minds together as one to send greetings and thanks to the water? Now our minds are one.
Now we turn toward the vast fields of plant life. As far as the eye can see, the plants grow, working many wonders. They sustain many life forms. With our minds gathered here, we give thanks and look forward to seeing plant life for many generations to come. Now our minds are one.
When we look about us, we see that the berries are still here, providing us with delicious food. The leader of the berries is the strawberry, the first to ripen in the spring. Can we agree that we are grateful that the berries are with us in the world and send our thanksgiving, love, and respect to the berries? Now our minds are one.
Now we turn to the medicine herbs of the world. From the beginning, they were instructed to take away sickness. They are always waiting and ready to heal us. We are so happy that there are still among us those special few who remember how to use the plants for healing. With one mind, we send thanksgiving, love, and respect to the medicines and the keepers of the medicines. Now our minds are one.
We put our minds together as one and thank all the birds who move about and fly about over our heads. The Creator gave them the gift of beautiful songs. Each morning they greet the day and with their songs remind us to enjoy and appreciate life. The eagle was chosen to be their leader and to watch over the world. To all the birds, from the smallest to the largest, we send our joyful greeting and thanks. Now our minds are one.
We now send greetings and thanks to our eldest brother, the sun. Each day, without fail, he travels the sky from east to west, bringing the light of a new day. He is the source of all the fires of life. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to our brother, the sun. Now our minds are one.
We put our minds together and give thanks to our oldest grandmother, the moon, who lights the nighttime sky. She is the leader of women all over the world, and she governs the movement of the ocean tides. By her changing grace, we measure time. And it is the moon who watches over the arrival of children here on earth. Let us gather our thanks for Grandmother Moon together in a pile, layer upon layer of gratitude, and then joyfully fling that pile of thanks high into the night sky that she will know. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to our grandmother, the moon.
We give our thanks to the stars who are spread across the sky like jewelry. We see them at night, helping the moon to light the darkness and bringing dew to the gardens and growing things. When we travel at night, they guide us home. With our minds gathered as one, we send greetings and thanks to all the stars. Now our minds are one.
Before this address ends in its full form, it also greets and thanks the fish and the food plants, trees, animal life, the four winds, the thunder beings, enlightened teachers, and the Creator or the Great Spirit, before these closing words. We have now arrived at the place where we end our words. Of all the things we have named, it is not our intention to leave anything out. If something was forgotten, we leave it to each individual to send such greetings and thanks in their own way. And now our minds are one. And thus, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the five tribes of the Iroquois, practiced gratitude, and they have offered this address, these words, as a gift to us. The author of the book, Braiding Sweetgrass, wrote about her childhood years, school years, and her daughter's school years, where they recited the Pledge of Allegiance each day to begin each school day. And her daughter actually stopped saying it. She couldn't relate to it. It's a pledge to a flag, a piece of cloth. And she lives so close to the Onondaga Nation where all of those school kids read and recite together this Thanksgiving address to start each day. And what a beauty, what a difference, what an orientation to life this gives us. So, beloveds, may you find gratitude in your life. And sometimes we have a hard time getting there. Sometimes we can't. And so in those times, may you have the courage to reach out and get help until you can again. Because we all need each other. I need you to survive. May it be so.